All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our monthly managed care calls. Joined today by the team at Molina Healthcare for their first call as a go live MCO participant in Iowa. So we're excited to have them join us again this month for July 12th, 2023. I'll start quick by just mentioning some informational letters that have come out over the last month since our last call. I went into a little bit more detail on them in our previous call with Iowa Total Care. So if you would like to get a little bit more detail, you can listen there. Or these have all been included in our bulletins at the time of release. And so just for reference, I will say info letter 2479 is competency-based training. This is going to be mostly focused on home and community-based service providers. There's some training that the department provides that you would be able to see there. Info letter 2471, which is the EVV attestation requirement, which is a requirement for AL and RCF members to complete if they would like to opt out of EVV, as long as they're providing shift workers. That needs to be completed by the end of this month. And lastly, info letter 2480, critical incident reporting changes. Again, this is for waiver providers as well. But again, all of these info letters have been put in our bulletin at the time of their release or the week following. So with that, I will pause and see if Tom or Rondine, if you have any opening remarks before we go into any of the pre-submitted questions that we would have had.
Yep, Brandon. So my opening remarks actually address a couple of the questions I just saw come through the chat.
Perfect.
We are in the process of returning countersigned Molina agreements. I apologize to providers that this has been a slow process. We had a number of agreements come in at the end of the contracting period. That we were our full campaign to get providers contracted. And quite honestly, we've hit a little bit of a backlog on getting those sent back out. However, we are dedicating moving resources around to make sure that that gets initiated and those contracts get sent back out. So I appreciate the patience that providers have shown and know that we are working to get those out as quickly as possible. And then I know there were a number of questions that were submitted. Rondine and I talked about it yesterday. And so she has hopefully some answers for your questions that you previously submitted. And then we can, if you're comfortable with it, Brandon, we can just open it up to additional questions. And if people put them in the chat, then we will address them.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we can go through, I think we had three submitted ahead of time. And so then we'll go through those quick and then we'll flip over to the chat and go in, you know, kind of the order in which they were received. So, Tom, I mean, if you want, if there's answers that you already know, I think that there's an ability to actually reply in the chat. If you know the answer, throw it in there and then we can just skip on past it. But otherwise, we'll start here with our previously submitted questions. The first one, and I got this quite a bit from members, and I think I've passed it along to you all, and so just wanting to address it on the call here as well, is authorization requirements for nursing facility custodial care. With the other plans, it's more of a notification rather than an authorization, and that notification is done through like the path tracker system or the case activity report system that the plan is then notified that they have someone receiving nursing facility care on their plan. So, Rondine, would you mind, you know, I guess confirming or addressing that a little bit?
Absolutely. So, yeah, so no authorizations required for custodial care. It does still reflect that in the prior auth tool on the website. We are working on that correction. And then we've also updated our prior auth FAQ to reflect that change. As far as notification, I think we discussed this with UM, Brandon, and I don't remember that coming up. So it would just be a typical notification as if you had someone, you know, in inpatient anywhere else. But if you want some more clarification on the notification process, I could certainly get that for you. Originally, Molina had required an off, and they do not now.
Awesome. Yeah, I think my understanding of the notification process as it currently operationalizes for the other plans is we have to notify the department through the path tracker system, which is basically the online case activity report, which is what we use to notify them that there is an individual on facility Medicaid that is receiving care in a nursing facility, and it gives all their information and the date that they came in. And then we're doing that electronically now through Path Tracker, and then that information would be some flows through to the health plans is the current process. So ideally that would be the same process, and I assume it probably will be. But yeah, if you have any clarification on that, that would be appreciated.
Yep, I will. I'll get back to you after the meeting so you can share with the members.
Awesome, thank you. The next question that we had ahead of time was when we request an off for a person who's on the Iowa Health and Wellness Plan receiving skilled care, they are asking for a HCPC at the time of the off. Is there a specific HCPC we should be using for the SNF care? It could depend. It could differ depending on if it's a therapy eval, which won't happen until after we get an off, and then we don't want the claim to deny because the HCPC that we got for the auth doesn't necessarily match the HCPC of the care that was provided. So any thoughts on that question?
So I have that one out to our UM department. That was a little trickier. So I will have that answer to you by the end of the day. They're just reviewing that now.
Okay, and that is fine. The third question, and then we'll flip over to the chat, is more of a how information is presented in Availity. And so it says, will Availity eventually provide more details or more information for Molina as far as when this group's intake department verifies benefits, of Availity doesn't currently tell them what type of Medicaid the member has, just that they're active. And so then they have to call in to provider services to find out what kind of coverage they have. And then an example was provided, at least in the message, about, you know, what it could look like or what the other plans, information looks like in Availity. And so any thoughts on, the additional details, and maybe it just maybe isn't loaded yet. This isn't, could be an answer, but any thoughts on that?
Yes, so I do put that out to our Availity team. I noticed that the SNP was from Iowa Total Care, and unless something has changed recently, and I apologize if I'm not aware, but I don't think they use Availity. So if that's an option for Availity, we could certainly provide that. But I have to find out a little bit more if that's something. It was wonderful to bring that to our attention because that makes complete sense. And we would love to cut down on call volume and providers having to call in. So right. Just trying to find out if that's something we can provide through Availity.
Okay. If anyone is on the call that knows, I'm not sure if Iowa Total Care is a user of Availity, but if you could throw that in the chat, if you do know that, that would be helpful. So we'll flip over to the questions in the chat here. And I know, Tom, you addressed the one on countersign agreements. This is a question on Molina issued authorizations. The auth number to put on claims would be the PUM number. Is that an accurate statement?
Can I just get some clarification on what the PUM number, what they're referring to?
I think that's probably what they're trying to figure out, is what the PUM number is and if that's the correct number that you guys want shown on claims when we're submitting them. I mean, if I'm just looking at the acronym, UM obviously makes sense as part of that PUM number.
Yeah.
but I'm not sure what the P would stand for. So,
Brandon.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Julie from Winnebago County. I had two auths that that I put in Ability, and I just ran what it looked like. And it's the authorization ID number. It starts with the PUM, and then it gives a bunch of numbers. Okay. And I'm wondering if that's that it is approved, because under status, it just says certified in total. So it doesn't say if it's approved or not approved. And that was kind of my question too. So I hope that clarifies it.
Yep. So you're looking to see if that's the actual auth number that would tell you.
Right. To go on the claim. Correct. Okay. And then on the thing through Ability, it doesn't say how many units or visits were actually approved. And where do we find that?
Okay. Thanks, Julie.
And it is visits. So I'll get some clarification of that as well.
This next question is, what is the address to request the Molina informational letters, or whether it's your provider news or, you know, something like that? So I'm sure you have a link to that that you can maybe throw in here at some point.
Yeah, so that would just be our website. We actually have the newsletter out there now. If you go out, and I'll put the link in the chat. Sometimes it doesn't let me copy the link, but I can get you the website address. If you just go to Health Plan Communications, you can pull up those newsletters. And you can also join there's some information on there to join our list. So you're getting all our updates and that we're allowed to email you.
Awesome. And I may have that link too. Oh, that's definitely the communications one. So I appreciate you including that. This is just like the generic Molina page for providers that you may want to, I just put it in the chat, that you may want to reference, as there's many different resources that they have already out there that you'd be able to take a look at as well. So I'm going to flip back in the chat. I know we have several questions in here, so I'll try to get to as many of them as we possibly can. The Molina auths on Ability are not showing the tier for our HCBS services. Will this be corrected?
Yeah, so actually not heard of that. So thank you for bringing that to my attention, and I will follow up with you today on that one as well. Just taking some notes here, so thank you.
Awesome. And I guess I should probably even say this for members too, is obviously this is 12 days in for Molina with a go live, and so a lot of this conversation today may be notification to them of issues that you're having, and solutions that they can then be working on while we're, I know we're talking about auths in this case, while we're in this continuity of care period, where the auth for someone who's already been on services may not necessarily be required, but you can obviously submit for one if you'd like. But this is kind of a way to help them with go live information and be able to correct any known issues. So again, this is a good feedback meeting more than likely. And they may also have some responses if they've already received those questions too. So just wanted to level set, I guess, before we went through several of these other questions on here.
Yeah, Brandon, I just piggyback on that. We appreciate your willingness to jump on calls with us and bring these things to our attention. Because if we don't know about it, we can't get it fixed. And the sooner we know about it, then we can get things fixed.
Awesome. So this next question is, as the, again, with someone who's trying to submit for auths, and maybe, so you guys aren't having to feverishly take notes this entire time, I can try to copy the chat and send you what the chat looks like after this meeting.
Oh, that'd be awesome if you can do that.
Yeah, I can do that. This one says, we know auth isn't required until after 9:30, but when we select home health care, the place of service autofills to 22 on-campus outpatient hospital instead of 12 at home, and they cannot change it. So is the auth submission portal fully functioning within Ability, or is it still being worked on? It's a flag, I suppose.
Sure, absolutely. So I'll take that one back as well. So if the authorization portal is fully functional, however, you know, we're still working on getting all providers credentialed. So you may find that, you know, you can't find your provider, which is part of that reason for that. Every provider is considered paid at 100% until 731. So I know that we have that issue going on. So I will take this one back as well.
This next one is a transportation related issue with just resident info not transferring over to access to care, and then access to care canceling appointments, saying that the person may not have information. That one, obviously, we all want those individuals to be able to get to their appointments. And so maybe a little bit more of a pressing issue if they're canceling appointments, maybe that have been on the books for months or with specialists that are really hard to get into. There could be delays in some very important care. So.
Yeah, so on this one, I'm going to put the Iowa Provider Relations box in the chat as well as my email if this provider wouldn't mind connecting with me. I just need a little more information and try best to get it offline since it involves the member, but would like to get that information over to Access to Care.
Yeah, because Rondine, essentially what you need is a specific example.
Mm-hmm. So if you do have that one, S. Bangford, that you can use that provider email that I think Rondine's going to put into the chat here. This question is, Availity does not seem to have the ability to enter a date range for the auth request, just the start date. That question is, how is Molina determining the length of the auth? If the dates don't match the cert period or the request is for a PRN visit, how do you have the dates corrected?
Yeah, I'm not aware that that's been an issue as far as, you know, providers receiving the auth. So we'll take that one back as well.
Okay. And then the second question of that, I guess just a little bit more detail. I'm assuming that Kristen is providing probably home health care. And so typically those auths have matched the cert period that the patient has, and that's usually about 60 days in length. And so they're trying to match up auth dates to cert period dates is what we've typically done. And then the follow-up question, I think, is Molina authing services in 15-minute increments or visits? I would say that that likely depends on the service that you're requesting an authorization on. If you're requesting an auth on a service that isn't a 15-minute unit, it's probably authorized that way. Otherwise, if you're requesting a service that's in a visit increment, it should probably be off using the visit increment amount. Is that how you would expect that, Rondine?
Correct. Yeah, it should be in visits if it's supposed to be. And most we've switched most things over to visits, especially for like physical PTOTSD. So if you're seeing something different, please bring that to our attention.
Yeah, and I guess the follow-up comment on that is that they were under the impression that it'd be visits too. And so, Katie, I don't know what service you were requesting an auth on. If it was a routine or like a normal home health care service visit, we would expect that to be in a visit increment rather than a 15-minute unit. So I don't know if you can put what service you got a 15-minute auth on, if it matches up.
Brandon, this is Julie again.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know what Katie's talking about, because when I did my first auth, you could not change it to visit. It was only units.
Okay.
So.
And it could be, this is just, we're kind of just talking here, I guess, unit. Obviously, in our world, means 15-minute unit.
Correct.
For Molina, unit or a plan, unit could be not just 15 minutes. It could just be an
authorization. Right, it could be one unit. Visit.
Right. That's right. What I'm wondering. Yeah. And so maybe clarification on that would be helpful.
So then that's where I go back to when you print off that thing. I don't know what that they've received it, the transition. That's where it doesn't tell you how much you've done. And that would be helpful to have that on there. so that you can match everything up, if that makes sense.
Thanks, Julie. This one says, I'm unable to verify eligibility on availability for Molina members. I received the message unknown NA.
So we do have real-time eligibility, but again, I mean, if you are unable to do that, you'd want to call member services, ELPS portal, or IMPA, because, you know, there may be some data issue with that particular member. But our, you know, that is a way you will be able to see if your members are eligible.
If they are, we're getting that unknown NA. Should they use that provider services email that you put in the chat?
They can. I mean, if they're wanting to determine eligibility, they're going to want to call member service, or excuse me, provider services, or, and, but I mean, we can route them there as well.
Okay. Okay.
We won't be able to look up eligibility for them. That would be, you know, ELPS portal, IMPA, or our call center.
Right. Okay. I think that's another visits versus units question. Path tracker online, I fax case activity in there. Is there a portal way to do this to the state? I do believe that there is. If you could send me an email, I'll put it in the chat here, and you can, I can give you a little bit more details on that. I just had a PA approved for DME equipment, and it was approved for 3 months, but 12 units, 1 month should be one unit, which seemed odd to the member, unless it's weeks.
And if you have a question that's specific to like what you've received back or specific to a member, that Iowa Provider Relations box you can reach out to, and we can connect with UM and get you some answers on that particular member or on that particular authorization. The more general questions will get answers back to you, Brandon. But for something like this, if an authorization just looks weird, or I would really encourage you to reach out to the box so we can connect you with your rep.
Yeah. And I guess I would agree with that. At least early on here, it may be helpful to hear too, like what it's supposed to look like, because you may not know, since this is our first round of auths. And so, you know, if you're approving in this case, maybe it's by the week, or maybe it's, I don't know, to know that that's what they can expect going forward. That would be helpful information just for the provider to know.
Sure. Absolutely.
Can you provide a provider region map? Is there a link to that out there?
Yeah, so it is on our website, but I can also include that when I send you the responses today. I will include the map as well, a PDF version.
Awesome. Thank you. The universal prior auth form seems to have been updated under the Molina section on the bottom of the first page. It just has a link to availability. Currently for ITC and AG, if we need additional visits off for a certain period, we have to submit it via fax or the universal auth form, because the portals will auto deny the requests as a duplicate. What process should be used for Molina members when needing additional units for a cert period that already has an auth in place?
Yeah, so you do have the ability to fax or phone, and that information is on the website as well, but I can include it in the email. We prefer the portal, but certainly if you have something that happens after the fact, you would have to submit that by fax or phone, because availability won't let you submit for a later date.
Are we able to submit claims through My Ability or Ability, not availability? You know that one?
So My Ability is not availability. And so are they asking, I'm sorry, I can't find that in the chat. Are they asking claims or authorizations?
Claims. They're asking if they can submit claims through Ability.
Absolutely. Any clearinghouse is perfectly fine.
Is there a way to check on the request for an auth if it was sent by fax? I had someone from Molina call me saying they had approved an auth, but they couldn't get it to go through on our fax or my email.
So authorizations should be showing up in Availity. But if you are having any concerns, you can reach back out to utilization management or to us at Provider Relations, but those should show up in Availity.
Awesome. We received a call from a patient who was switched to Molina and is requesting to go back to her previous MCO. What is the process for this person? And also, how does it work for a new Molina member if they have the AmeriVantage plan? And what that is it's the Medicare Advantage plan that AmeriGroup has for Part A.
So, I mean, I don't
know the answer to that one. We're going to have to check. I would assume we just have coordination of benefits that needs to occur between the two plans.
I would agree on the AmeriVantage side. And then I can put in a link if I have a minute here on how they go about. I think really if you want to change MCOs, you can't really initiate that for them. They have to do it themselves or their family. And it likely requires probably an outreach to member services, to IME member services. And I think you can go about the process to request a change in your MCO if that's what the individual wants to do.
And we are in an open enrollment period right now.
Yep. When I try to get to the Molina website, it throws me to Availity as the site up, and I do see a link in there, so I appreciate that. Sorry, I'm trying to get through as many questions as we can here. Kudos out to Molina. We submitted a home health visit off through Availity and received it back approved in less than 3 days, so that's awesome. I see Tiffany put the link to the map in there, so that's great. I received an auth for skilled nursing and home care aid in 15-minute increments. Was a follow-up to one of our topics above. That's typically done in a visit authorization, and so maybe something to take back there. I received two auths today. Both are for G0299 and G0156. That were both auth in 15 minutes, despite requesting it in visits, so that's the same thing. Change the ability to change from visit to units. Several different things I think that are all related to home health authorizations. And that's, I guess, probably to be expected since they're the ones who have the most services that require an auth. So I think just wanting to make sure that they are doing that properly. And if Molina requires auth for G0156, which is home care or home health aid, that is a yes at this time. There is an auth requirement for home health aid at this time.
Brandon, this is Julie.
Go ahead, Julie.
Just a quick round out since we're at the bottom. Are the units being changed? One final thing, since we had a lot of questions on units versus visits, are we getting the units changed over to visits then in the system? Is that where you guys are at with that for home health claims?
Yes. So I believe that's probably an error. So we're going to take that back to utilization management.
I would absolutely agree with that. I work within the home health division as well. Would you mind a reach back to Brandon and I with that after you talk to UM so we can get a message back out to members? That will be very helpful just so they have a closure of that loop so they know what to expect.
Absolutely. I think we have quite a few takeaways here in the chat. So. We'll include all that information back to you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yes.
I know we're up.
Sorry, this is Julie again. Also, with that, will we have to resubmit those auths then if they came back in units instead of visits?
No. We'll just get some clarification for you. You're actually in a period of continuity of care, and we've waived an authorization on most new services. And that is perfectly fine. If you have the authorization that way and it's supposed to be a visit, we'll just get clarification for you. You don't need a new auth.
Okay. Thank you, Rodine.
All right. I know we're up at time. Tom, Rundine, I will send you a copy of the chat just so you have it for your information. I do know that we probably have individuals from Amerigroup trying to jump on too. And so with that, we'll wrap up our call with Melina. As always, you know, anyone on this call, if you have questions or your something looks off or whatever, you can feel free to funnel that through me. I can pass along as much of it as possible to our the team at Molina. Also, I know that there were emails and provider maps included in the chat here. Feel free to reference those if you have things that you are wanting to figure out here in the early workings of Molina's go live experience. So just wanted to throw that out there, I suppose. But also thanks to Tom and Rondine for joining us today. And we look forward to working with you guys into the future. So appreciate
it. You as well. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.